years, because I remember when I was past hope. Amen. I was past hope, but I'm glad Jesus made the difference in my life. I love Him tonight. I love Him for what He's done, and I love Him for who He is. I don't ever want to not serve the Lord after all He's done for me. I trust that's your heart's desire tonight as well. Galatians chapter number 4, and we're going to ease in maybe to a preaching gear here in a little while, but I want to go on a little journey. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. And I want to preach this message. I have been a little apprehensive about preaching it. Again, just from the standpoint, this is one of those messages. It's far easier to preach to a church that I'm not the pastor of, as it deals with that relationship between the church and the pastor. And yet that's one of the burdens on my heart as I go other places and the Lord opens up doors and we preach, trying to strengthen that relationship in the churches the Lord lets us go to. I personally believe, and we'll show it to you tonight, a church will never be any stronger than what her relationship is, first and foremost to the Lord, but right under that, how her relationship is, the church's relationship is to the pastor and the pastor to the people. A church will never go beyond being any stronger than that relationship is. And it's a very important relationship in the spiritual life of God's people. A very important, very needful relationship to maintain and not let anything come between that, or we'll suffer the consequences of it. And so I'm aware tonight what I'm going to preach is far easier. I love preaching on it in other places. And I have to preach on it here because it's in the Bible, and we let the Lord lead us and direct us. And let me say this, I'm not aware of any trouble. As far as I know, Calvary Baptist Tabernacle is strong tonight, as strong as it's been in years. And I want to keep it that way. I want to preach things that help us maintain and keep it that way. I don't know of anybody I have aught with about anything. I don't know of any issue that somebody else has where you would have aught with your pastor or with the ministry here. I'm not saying we all agree on everything, but we ain't made no major issues out of nothing, and we want to keep it that way.
Amen.
Amen. We want to keep it that way, and so I want to go on a study with you tonight through the book of Galatians, and we'll share our heart with you, and we'll see what the Lord does for us. As I said, I preach this message in at least two other places, and God has used it, and I trust He'll use it here tonight. Galatians chapter number 4, let's begin reading in verse number 12. If you're willing and able to do so, you can stand for a moment, and I'm going to try to keep us on a conscientious attitude of time. And I could preach all night. This particular subject, when I get in on it, it gets my blood pumping and stirs me up. But we want to try to be conscious of that tonight. We'll see what the Lord has for us. Verse number 12, brethren. I think that's important to note how this passage of Scripture that we're going to preach from begins tonight. Paul calls them brethren. That is, they have a common bond. These people have been born of the Spirit. And Paul acknowledges that. He's not like some preachers in our day where there becomes a division between a pastor and maybe somebody in the congregation. I hear a lot of preachers say, well, if they were really saved, they wouldn't do the things they're doing. I got news for you. Saved people can act like idiots too. It doesn't mean they're not saved. It doesn't mean they're not brethren. It just means they're having an immature season of life. So Paul said, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. My temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God. Notice how Paul says they received him. At first he said, even as Christ Jesus. What a statement. What a statement. The Bible said, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Listen to verse 16 is where we'll take our thought from. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. They zealously, notice that phrase, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. We'll leave off our reading there. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help us, on the thought, keeping your pastor from becoming your enemy. Keeping your pastor from becoming your enemy. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray a special added blessing upon what we're endeavoring to do this evening. Lord, we don't dare touch subjects like these without the green light from our God. Lord, we know tonight the subject matter, Lord, is important. Lord, to establish, Lord, in this local church, that wondrous relationship you've given between the under-shepherd and the flock of God that you placed him over. Lord, I'm not in anything tonight to build a kingdom for ourselves. Lord, we're not interested in that. Lord, we're just interested in doing the work of God in these last days together with the people of the Lord. Lord, one day we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ together. We'll give an account of ourselves. But Lord, there'll be a reckoning day in the relationship, Lord, that we're going to preach about tonight. Lord, it's our desire as the pastor of this church to be able to do that on that day with joy and not with grief. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, the people of God would be granted a listening ear and an open heart. Lord, eyes that would be able to see, Lord, truths that are so important in regard to the subject matter tonight. Lord, I pray most of all and in everything, Christ would be magnified and the church would be strengthened. That, Lord, we would do all we can, Lord, to be unified, Lord, in mind and in heart and in direction in these days. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and we'll bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The book of Galatians is one that is studied in many regards and from many angles as being a deeply doctrinal book. We understand the book of Galatians has a lot of doctrine that we draw from it. A lot of things about Christ and salvation and the gospel and a lot of things about the Spirit-filled life and walking in the Holy Ghost and what that looks like. And all of those are deep doctrinal truths that should be studied and are needful to be studied. The book of Galatians, though, is not only doctrinal, but is a very personal, very practical, and a very personal letter from the hand of the Apostle Paul to the churches that are in Galatia. You'll find that of all the epistles that Paul wrote, and Paul was a preacher that when he addressed churches, he did so from his heart. He did so being transparent, and he did so being firm when he needed to be firm, and yet being very skilled and very tactful and very compassionate when that occasion had to be presented to the churches that he was writing to. Believe tonight that this epistle from which our text comes from may be the greatest insight to the relationship that Paul had with the churches that he started. As you read the book of Galatians, of course, it's not as large a letter as some of the ones he wrote the church at Corinth, and yet it's in the same scale, or maybe a little larger than an epistle like he wrote the churches at Philippi. Yet, when you read the book of Galatians, Paul is going to bear his heart in a very personal way to that church in matters regarding how he feels about them and how he knows they feel about him. He's going to try to address some issues that seem to have creeped up between the two. And as we consider this tonight in these verses, let me lay out to get our thought this evening. I find that in these text verses, Paul writes to them about this relationship between
he and them. Number one tonight, I would draw your attention in verses 12, 13, and 14 to the beginning of their relationship. The beginning of their relationship is referenced in the fact that Paul again speaks of them as brethren. He speaks to them as though they are saved and that they have a common bond one with another. He counts them to be brethren, and he recalls the days in these verses that he came and preached the gospel to them. You'll read about that in Acts chapter number 14, that at Paul and Barnabas in their first missionary journey and endeavor, that this was one of the first places that Paul would go to, and the Lord would open up an effectual door, and Paul would preach, and some of those Galatians would be saved. They would call upon the name of the Lord, believing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There they would not only be saved, they would be baptized, as all saved people ought to be. And in being baptized, they would have established a local church and a local congregation there. Paul had the privilege to see all of that done, God using him in his ministry and the message of the gospel that he preached. Paul was eyewitness to the fact, amen, that all of this was done by the grace of God. And so there was a wonderful, wonderful state in the beginning, that the beginning of their relationship was built around the common bond of the gospel, was built around the common bond of the Lord Jesus Christ, was Paul's Savior and Lord, and that these Galatians had been saved out of all sorts of backgrounds and all sorts of sin and all sorts of muck and mire. They had been brought into the family and the fold of God. Amen. They had a common bond, is what I'm trying to tell you. Amen. This evening, the beginning of their relationship. And so we'll study some of that this evening in a moment. Notice with me, number two, the blessedness in their relationship. Not only the beginning centered around Christ and the gospel, centered around a love for the Lord, centered upon a desire to serve God within the local church. And as that relationship began, it would begin to blossom into, amen, what Paul speaks is a blessedness. Notice what he said in verse number 15, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And so he speaks of a blessedness, using that word literally meaning to consider or count blessed, to pronounce or esteem fortunate. What Paul is saying is that in my coming to you and you being saved and us beginning a relationship, our relationship began to grow. And from your standpoint, you had a blessedness. You had a attitude, a mindset of blessedness toward the man of God that God sent to preach the gospel to you and show you your sin, and you got saved, and from there you began to grow. And this word blessedness, it shows the gratitude that they had for Paul and his ministry as he had come to them with the gospel and further ministered to their spiritual life. Amen. Paul speaks of it. Where is the blessedness? Amen. The blessedness. You esteemed yourself fortunate. You pronounce yourself to have been blessed to sit under the ministry of the man of God. You put a value on that. That was great that you realized you needed this. You realized that, amen, you realized that, amen, had it not been for the man of God preaching to you, your life would still be in sin, and then even after salvation would have been made shipwrecked a long time ago had it not been for the ministry of the man of God that God sent into your world. Amen. And so he said you had a gratitude, you had a spirit of thankfulness, you considered and counted this relationship to be a blessing to your life. So great a degree was the gratitude that this church had that Paul speaks of the fact that they would have rather suffered themselves somehow to ease the burden that Paul had upon his life. Amen. It's believed according to what Paul references in this text. And Paul had some sort of eye issue. We believe that that he had some sort of astigmatism or a blindness that had begun to set in upon him. And these people were aware of Paul's handicap and this weakness in his flesh. And Paul said, you began to express the fact that you would willingly pluck out your good eyes, your eyes with 20/20 vision, and give them and replace your eyes with mine, and you not be able to see, that I could see that maybe I could be more effective in the ministry by that great sacrifice. Amen. Do you see what Paul is explaining, this relationship between he and them, as it had blossomed into a blessedness? Amen. Oh, Paul is cherishing them and the fact that they were willing to do such a thing. Amen. Paul is bragging on them that, amen, we had something special one with another in this blessedness of their relationship. I think it's important to point out, and this was not short-lived. This was not, amen, just in the opening days of his life and his ministry among them. But it's seen on Paul's side as well. Brother Mike, when you study the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys, you'll find that the churches of Galatia were one of the few that Paul would visit every missionary journey. Every journey he would take, there was something in his heart that was drawn. I want to get back by and see my friends and my brothers and my sisters that are there in the churches of Galatia. This was not a man of God taking advantage of these people. He counted himself to be blessed, to be identified with them as well. And so there is a reciprocated blessedness that had been established in their relationship one with another. And so we see the beginning and the blessedness, but notice with me what gets us to our thought tonight, the becoming of their relationship. I see in verses 12 through 15 a close-knittedness. I see a family attitude one toward another. I see a man of God who deeply loves these people, and I see a people that are willing to suffer and willing to give and willing themselves to go through hardship to try to ease the burden of their man of God. But Paul said in verse number 16, am I therefore become your enemy? And so he speaks of something that we'll call tonight the becoming of their relationship. Things have begun to change. Things are not what they used to be. Amen. They've gone from a blessedness to now becoming, if you will, a battlefield between the two. A word that Paul uses here becomes an interesting word. It means literally to cause to be. Become means to cause to be. There was something that it caused there to be. Something different about this relationship. This word become, it carries on a definition to generate. Amen. There was something generated. There was something brought to life. Amen. That should have never been brought to life between the two. Here there's a reference in this word become to the mindset of the Galatians that Paul has now become their enemy. Amen. Conveying the idea of being hateful or hostile, amen, to the object of their disdain. Am I therefore become your enemy? Paul said, you become hateful. Paul said, there's no blessedness anymore. There's a sharpness to the way that you talk. There is a vitriol. There is a hostility under your breath. There is a look in your eye that you no longer are filled with love. Amen. Not now you would not, amen, exchange eyes with me. You would gouge me. I have become your enemy. Amen. This word enemy is very, very interesting. And not only conveying the idea of being hateful and hostile, But when you study the Word of God, here's what you'll find about this word enemy. That this word is especially used of none other than Satan himself. Amen. Satan being the adversary of the brethren, the enemy of the people of God. Amen. That one who is the thief come to steal and to kill and to destroy. This word enemy sets in mind the work of Satan. Amen. They went from thinking that Paul was an angel of God, as he referenced in verse 14, to now he acknowledges the fact that in their relationship, they have come to this place where they began to think Paul was the devil. Amen. You say, preacher, that doesn't happen in churches. Amen. I hate to tell you tonight, but it happens. Amen. And it can happen rather quickly. Amen. And when it happens, my friend, very, very few ever come back from that type of a mindset. Amen. Paul said, you used to think I was an angel of God. Amen. You used to want to give me the eyes that were in your own head. Amen. You used to respect and carry on it. And you used to be growing. But now, amen, our relationship has had a becoming of it. Or now you view me to be your enemy. Amen. And can I say tonight, amen, Paul was the greatest earthly friend they could have hoped for. Amen. The Apostle Paul, can you imagine what we know about Paul? How we hold Paul in regard to all these years later? Amen. As being the missionary, the man of God that, amen, was responsible 2,000 years ago to the Gentiles getting the gospel. Amen. We hold him in high regard and esteem. And yet somebody like Paul was viewed by Christian people and church people. They, amen, had a change in their mindset, and he's now no longer their friend. He is their foe. And I say tonight, it was not Paul who had changed. Amen. And we'll see that clearly tonight. You say, preacher, what happened? Amen. It was they who had a change. Amen. It was they that allowed this relationship to come into this. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight, and I don't have time to tell you everything I'm not preaching. Amen. Or we'll be here all night trying to get to what I'm trying to preach. Amen. I'm not saying tonight that there aren't some knuckleheaded men of God and pastors across the land. Amen. Some of the biggest idiots I've ever met in church were preachers and pastors that, amen, abused God's people and had no sense of discernment about them. Amen. They had an immaturity and a pride and an arrogance where they could not humble themselves to acknowledge their mistakes. Amen. I understand all of that exists. Amen. But do you understand the issues? I hope you will by the end of the message. Amen. This was not because of Paul's immaturity. This is not something that has become because Paul has fell into sin and Paul has gotten out of sorts. Amen. It was not Paul that allowed this relationship to become what it was. Amen. It was the fault lied in the church of Galatia. Amen. Allowing themselves to be removed from this relationship. Look back with me in chapter number 1 and in verse number 6. The Bible said, Paul speaking, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And so Paul said, it's not me that's removed. Amen. It's not me that has, amen, made a change along the way. That word removed, used in chapter number 1 and verse number 6, it literally means to change sides. Amen. Paul said, I marvel that you've changed sides. Amen. I marvel that you're fighting for the other side. I marvel that you're wearing the other team's jersey. I marvel that you're cheering on the one that has been set against me. Amen. A becoming of their relationship. Amen. And may I say in the book of Galatians, Paul is sending out some instruction to the church of Galatia how to fix this relationship. Amen. He's not trying to be a big bad man of God. He ain't trying to thumb the church. He ain't trying, amen, to pull the I am the man of God mentality. Amen. He is a man of God. He knows he's a man of God. Amen. He is going to defend his authority in that position and that calling. Amen. But he's trying to get them to understand, amen, that things can go back to being the way that they were. Amen. If they would simply acknowledge they had removed themselves. Amen. And we'll see tonight, I pray this evening, amen, what Paul was calling on them to do and to acknowledge and showing them how that this relationship had become this. Amen. And then if they could acknowledge that, Brother Gerald, amen, things can go back to being close again. Amen. Maybe tonight we could learn from that to prevent some things from happening. Amen. Are y'all interested in this? Y'all don't be nervous. I'm over my nerves now. Amen. We can settle down and preach. Amen. Paul is teaching us how to keep our pastor from becoming our enemy. Amen. And so we want to look at that this evening. You say, preacher, that ain't no big deal. Amen. I've been here 9 years and I have experienced it. Amen. Those at one time sang my praise. Amen. And I've seen some of them recently and treat me like a dog. Amen. And that's on them. That ain't on me. I'm going to shake their hand. I'm going to smile. Amen. And I'm going to wave and I'm going to be cordial. Amen. There ain't nobody I'm going to treat as my enemy. Are you listening? Amen. And I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen. Amen. Time and time and time again. Amen. And we want to learn how to keep that from happening. Are you interested in it? Amen. You say, oh, I love the pastor. I love Preacher Jeff. And I'll never let that happen. Amen. I trust that's your desire tonight. Amen. But if we don't learn how to keep that from happening, they ain't. Amen. There's not anybody here tonight that it couldn't happen to. Amen. Amen. I believe that's right. All right. Let's look at it tonight. How to keep your pastor from becoming your enemy. Let's look back in our text tonight and let me give you the first point. I don't know how far we'll make it. I done took too long, but notice with me, number one, they changed in their response to the truth Paul preached. Let me say that again. Some of y'all's writing it down. They changed in their response to the truth Paul preached. The foremost issue that is at hand here was the Galatians had begun to be offended when being told the truth. Amen. Listen to what he said. Listen now. Listen. Try to get a hold of it. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Paul immediately puts his finger on the first and foremost issue that is between them. It is their relationship to truth. Yes, sir. Amen. I know there's some sorry preachers and pastors tonight, even in our own community, that have no interest in the truth. But when God calls a man to preach and God matures that man and puts him in a local church to be the pastor of that assembly and that little flock, and to be the under shepherd of those souls, it is, amen, a ministry of truth. It is a man declaring the truth of the Word of God. Amen. He's not on whims and he's not to declare opinions. He's not to preach according to polls and the dictates that, amen, boards and deacon boards and trustees tell him he has to preach. Amen. His job is to stand and say, amen, thus saith the Lord, and rear back and give the church truth that they can live by. Amen. God knows there's a famine in the land. Amen. Of so-called preachers that refuse to have a relationship to the truth. Amen. And churches are starving tonight for, amen, the preached truth of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. But God don't call men, amen, to put the wet finger in the wind and find out which way the winds are blowing. Amen. He calls us to be instant in season, out of season. Amen. To withdraw, stand and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. To be a preacher of the truth is what a pastor ought to be. Amen. Boy, that felt good. Amen. He's to be a preacher of truth. Amen. Amen. That's what Paul was. Paul said, I tell you what's happened. Amen. That he's given this to them to understand, to straighten it out. Amen. But it's for us tonight to keep this from happening. Amen. We must not allow our response to truth and is declared to you and I to change. Amen. Paul reminded them, amen, in this text that there was a time when they received him. Somebody said, I ain't gonna listen what any man said. Amen. Paul said to this crowd, he said, amen, that day I came to where you were. Amen. You received me. Amen. And I'm telling you, there is a, amen, there is an aspect of your spiritual life, or you're going to have to acknowledge the ministry of the man that God has put over you. Amen. And receive him. Amen. And Paul said, you didn't just receive me, but you did so as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. It's amazing when you first get saved. Amen. The man of God preaches in your, buddy, I mean, it's like God himself is speaking to your heart. If you're not careful, there will come a time where you'll begin to change in responding to that truth. Amen. Any man of God who would declare himself to be God or to lord over God's heritage, that man ought to quit the ministry and get out and repent of his sin and get right with God. Amen. But on the other side of the coin, you better understand when a man of God has been called of God and stands before you and declares the word of God, it ought to be responded to as though Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
I ain't talking about getting out of the word of God. I ain't talking about making it up as you go. If he's preaching this book, that is the word of God, and it is to be received as though Christ Jesus himself is preaching to you.
Amen.
Amen. I told you it's hard for a pastor to preach this to his own people. I can fly and let her rip, Brother Mo. Amen. Another church, and I mean bust it. Do y'all understand what I'm saying tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Ain't no man gonna tell me what to do. No, there ain't no truth in the world that you've stoved up on that you're gonna receive, and you'll blame it on a man and you'll make foolish statements like, well, that's just his opinion. Well, tell you what, you are making the first step. When those kind of statements come out of your mouth, you have made the first step to there being an open door for Satan to get involved, and you began to view your pastor as your enemy. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor.
Yes,
amen. We flew Evangelist Ledbetter in all the way from across the parking lot to preach to us tonight. Their relationship to truth changed when they quit responding to it in obedience.
Yes, sir.
Their problem is they, not that they've not heard the truth. Amen. Now I'll go a step further, and this may ruffle a feather or two, and that'll be okay. It ain't even that they didn't understand what was being preached to them as truth. Their problem was they didn't want to live it, they weren't going to live it, and they were not going to obey nothing nobody else told them.
Amen.
I got a good Bible word for that kind of mentality. It's called rebellion.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That is not a light thing in the Word of God. Everybody okay? I'm doing this with a good heart to help us now. Amen. Paul is indicting them that their response to truth has changed to Paul's preaching. Amen. Look with me in chapter number 3 and in verse number 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth. He hits on the chord that there has become a change in their response to Bible preaching. That Brother Larry, they have gone from listening and loving, amen, and applying the Word of God to their life, to now Paul said, the reason I've become your enemy, amen, is because you don't want to obey the Word of God anymore. He hits on this again in Galatians chapter number 5. Look with me in chapter number 5 and in verse number 7. He said, you did run well. You were running so good. You was on course to, amen, spiritually grow and succeed and to be what God has saved you to be. Amen. He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You know what Paul just said? He said, you was doing well till you started getting your eyes on other rebels and listening to what other rebels had to say. They'll come up to you when the pastor has plowed their tater patch and you're under conviction and you're feeling bad and you're getting ready to respond and change and obey. And they'll come up to you and say, you ain't got to listen to everything the preacher says. You ain't got to be an old fuddy-duddy. He's just out of touch. No, you better take it real serious. You see, I don't play games getting up here preaching. I don't get up here. If I am preaching opinion, it's very rare. I let you know this is how I feel about it. This is my opinion. This is how I see it. When you're giving the Word of God, friend, you better be real careful walking out of the church. Some I just don't see it that way. You better make sure you're right.
Yes, sir.
You're going to make statements like that. You better make good and sure you're right. Amen. Because God takes obedience very, very, very seriously.
Yes, sir.
So I just don't understand it all. If you don't understand it, then you better put some trust, amen, in a man of God that my friend is up here telling you the truth. Amen. Until you do get clarity on it otherwise. Amen. Is that good preaching?
Yes,
sir. Amen. Once people openly rebel against living the truth, you need to listen to what I'm getting ready to give you. Once you began to rebel against the truth that is being given, amen, once they openly rebel against living the truth, it won't be long till they refuse to listen to the truth. Did you hear what Paul said in chapter number 4 and in verse number 16? Listen to it now. Am I therefore become your enemy? Watch it. Here's what he didn't say. Because I force you to live the truth. That ain't what he said. Paul said, you have started counting me to be your enemy just because I tell you the truth. I can see maybe where they'd have a case if Paul's running around and, hey man, he got his binoculars out behind all the bushes and he's spying on them every little thing they do. Hey man, and running around and beating them in the head with ball bats and my friend trying to force them into obedience. And the truth, that wasn't what Paul said was the issue. Paul said, you have changed this relationship because I just simply tell you what's right and wrong.
Yes,
and when it cuts across the grain of your heart and the way you want to live, it ticks you off to the point you don't even want to hear it.
Amen. You're right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
You listening? Do we want to learn how to keep our pastor from becoming our enemy? We must understand, we must maintain a right relationship to the truth that is being preached. Amen. We can't live without truth. We've got to have truth. It's truth that Jesus said sanctifies our life. It's the truth that, amen, was preached one day that brought us in the family of God. Amen. It's truth. It's truth that we are told to buy and to sell not. Amen. But it's truth, and we need more than we need air to breathe. It's truth that it nourished all generation. You say, preacher, and some of that stuff is so old and outdated. Hey man, I'm telling you tonight, hey man, if it's ever been truth, it's still truth. Hey man, we do not have a right to change what God said is right and wrong. We've changed it so in the church and got so out of sort, amen, with, amen, our response to truth that, amen, the world's gone down, amen, down a road to hell, and they go in there by a handbasket. My friend, head over heels. Amen, the church can't even say anything about a lot of it. Amen, because we've made so many compromises, and we've watered it down so. Amen, we're so worldly minded. Amen, we fit in with this ungodly world. Amen. And we wonder, why in the world is my spiritual life being drained? Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to turn into evangelist, but I'm feeling good about preaching. Y'all look like you're taking it good. Amen. And I'm telling you, don't you allow, amen, your mindset to change about that book is right. Amen. And that man of God is a preaching it. Amen. If he's doing his best to walk in the guidelines and the boundaries of this book, don't you ever get mad because he lifts the standard, Dad. Amen. Don't you ever get to the place, amen, where your relationship to the truth is preached. Amen. Change is so that you don't even want to hear it anymore. Amen. I've watched it. I've watched it. I know we're hitting on a personal note, and we're off radio now, so I can be real good and personal. Amen. We've had issues come up around here, and people say, I just don't feel like. And I say, whoa, 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 whoa. We ain't talking about feelings. Amen. What's that book say?
Amen.
Well, I just don't see. Okay, you don't see this text or this doctrine this way, here's what the Word of God says. How do you see it? Tell me how you see it. Well, I just don't feel like. I'm sorry, I ain't compromising with anybody's feelings over what that book says. Amen. I've told them, you show up in Sunday school, we'll teach on it, and they refuse to come. You know why? You know why? Are y'all listening? They don't want to be told what the truth is.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I've offered to sit down and meet with them one-on-one. Let's go over it. I ain't interested in that. You know what the problem is? They don't want to hear what the truth. They refuse to listen to what the truth is.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yes, you let that thrive too long, buddy. I'm telling you, the devil will come in and draw your heart away. And the man of God that at one time, amen, at one time that same preaching that at one time blessed them and could never be long enough and hard enough and personal enough, it eventually got the church at Galatia to a point where they were unresponsive to the same truth. It's sad. It's sad. It's sad. Breaks my heart. I ain't up here trying to be a jerk. I'm up here trying to help somebody tonight. Trying to help strengthen our church to understand that our relationship, me as your pastor and the pastor of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, you as a member or maybe some here tonight that are prospective members, you've got to understand this relationship. I'm fine being your friend. I'm fine being your buddy. I'm fine fishing and hiking and hunting and eating together and you coming to my house and me going to your house, I'm fine with all of that, but don't forget this relationship here first and foremost is about our regard for the truth to one another.
Amen.
First and foremost. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, all right. Let's stop there. Amen. That second point is brutal. Amen. It's brutal. And I've gotten preaching gear. Amen. I'm just going to end right there. Is that okay? Everybody good with me? I'm good with you now. I'm good with you. I love everybody in here. I love you with all my ever-loving heart. And my heart's that big.
Are y'all listening? My heart's that big, and I love you with every square inch of it. Let's stay in love with that book. Stay in love with that book. If you'll love that book, and I'm not saying people can't have questions about what's preached. Y'all know me. I got an open door policy. You can come sit in my office, and we'll talk about anything. Amen? If you don't like something, we can sit down like two saved people, brethren. Amen. Sit down, spirit-filled, and we'll talk about it. I've had to admit sometimes, hey, I'm wrong about that. You're right. I'm wrong. Say, so you do that? You better believe it. I've had to stand in this pulpit in 9 years, a time or two, and say, I'm sorry. Everybody okay? But if I have a regard for truth, you expect that out of your pastor. I expect it out of you.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. You say, well, I ain't going to live some things. Well, if you're not going to live some things, at least don't get mad when I preach on it.
Right.
Don't let yourself get to the place where you can't even be told what the truth is.
Amen.
Amen. Because, amen, I'm one of them preachers, and I've got a little soft as I've got older. Amen. Probably a lot soft. Amen. Back when I was getting started, I'm done preaching. I'm just talking to y'all. Amen. Back when I was young, my wife would tell you, buddy, I was tough as nails. Amen. I'd bust you. If I knew there was a problem, Brother Jack, I'd get up. I called a deacon's wife out one night. I learned my lesson on that one. Somebody say amen. Amen. I had a visit in my office the next weekend. Amen. He come in there. His wife done set him on fire. He come in there. I said, did I tell it right? He said, preacher, you told it right. You told it right. I said, well, she needs to change. He said, would you tell her? I said, I thought I already did. Amen. I thought I already did. And so we drug her hind end up in there and we give her an earful. Amen. I'm a softy now, man. I just want to get along, but I do not and will not and refuse to compromise the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You ain't got to see everything the way I do, but I'm going to bless God, get up and preach it like God's put it in this book.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. So we want to keep it right, don't we? Ain't y'all thankful for what God's been doing? I'm thankful for it. We want to maintain it. And I get nervous preaching this because I believe God spoke to my heart, told me to preach this. And I've struggled with that. And one of the reasons I do, every time I go preaching along this vein, it's usually a warning that's going out or something down the road's getting ready to happen. And God wants us to get a hold of it. And I pray that we do. Amen. Amen.